When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The King and Queen of the Ring tournaments continue, and we now know who Cody Rhodes will be facing at the pay-per-view. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo. We're here for the SmackDown post-show, and with me, as always, is Robin Lundberg. Robin, what is up, man? Happy Friday.
Yeah, what is up? Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us is on an endless loop in my head. That's what's up.
You know, I went to TikTok, and I don't know what the hell I was doing on TikTok. I just like randomly go on the app. And the first thing that I see is, get this, it's literally a fruit video. I don't know if you've seen this. It's apparently a thing where it's dancing fruit and they're dancing to that song and they have the avocado going, not like us, not like us. And it's the avocado. Yeah. It's so stupid.
Drizzy Drake and his fans they're down bad. They started from the bottom. Now they're back there.
Yeah, seriously. It's so sad. Freaking wild. But no, I love how everybody, this has sort of taken the world by storm. We even got a couple of references on it this week in pro wrestling. I'm sure you were like, yes.
Well, it's referenced on Kendrick's song. I mean, he calls Drake a jabroni, and then he says, sweet chin music and I won't pass the ox on that song. And then CM Punk referenced it. I think Swerve Strickland referenced it as well, right?
Yeah, both of them too. So, and it was them too. And actually, I think Kofi Kingston did too as well. I think he did so in a backstage segment, if I remember correctly. So yeah, so it's been mentioned across the board, but we got to go ahead and get into SmackDown. And we actually have a pretty fun show to talk about today because we got a little bit of everything. We're continuing with the tournament for both the King and Queen. And then we got a shocking, I guess, new opponent for Cody Rhodes for the King and Queen pay-per-view that's happening in Saudi Arabia. And then on top of that, we got some sort of a new, I don't want to say a new direction, but a new layer of mind games in the Bloodline storyline. So I'll just start there, Robin. Like, overall for you, how did SmackDown hit today?
I think it was pretty good, pretty strong. The Bloodline thing has been well done throughout this process, and I think we got another twist in it because I do not believe Solo Sikoa. And, you know, the way he was embracing Paul Heyman was very, you know, deliberate, on the nose, right? That kind of thing. And then on top of that, the Cody setup, I prefer, I might get some hate for this, but I prefer Logan Paul as an opponent for Cody Rhodes than I did AJ Styles. I just think, you know, he's got more dynamic personality. There'll just be a little bit more of a build going in and maybe a tinge more of a chance that Logan Paul could win. Even though we all know Logan Paul is not going to win. Like, it is a guarantee Logan Paul's not going to win. This is the last match, though, that I'll let them have like this. This is the last match before I think you have to put a real heavy against Cody Rhodes or else we're going to start having problems.
Because right now it sort of feels like a stop and go type of thing, right? It feels like, you know, what's, I don't know the official name of this race, but I used to do this as a kid when I was in track. You know, there was the baton. Right. Mm-hmm. So you would, yeah. Someone would, it was four people on a team and you would, someone would start, pass the baton, then stop again. You'd start again, pass the baton and you'd go, you'd until you finish the race. Right. That's how it's sort of feeling right now with Cody Rhodes, where it's like, oh, we started with this AJ Styles feud. Now we're passing the baton on to Logan Paul. Okay. Well, who's going to be the next baton? Instead of doing like a full story, we're just getting like, here's your opponent. Here's your opponent, which is good in a way because you're seeing Cody Rhodes go out there and wrestle all of these different guys. But at the same time, it almost feels like they don't really have a real story for him at this moment.
And, you know, Logan's easy heat, right? You throw him out there. You got the prime thing. You got the fact that he's supposed to be annoying. All these things that are already built in with him. And that's what they're preying on here because they got the quick build to Saudi. They used him the last time, too. Remember, against Roman. So it's not a new thing for him to be over there and to be taking on the champion in this sort of showcase. And we know he knows how to put on a good show. So I think he and Cody will match well together. It will be a good show and everything like that. But when you actually break it down for the chance for him to win, but I will say, I'm more excited about this one than I was about AJ Styles. Not that there was anything wrong with that match. The match, we all knew the match was going
to
be
five stars. Five-star match.
Not according to me.
That's what it got. That's what the official rating was. Five stars. Congratulations, Cody and AJ.
Are those official?
Yeah, it got rated five stars.
Yeah, I just don't know like what qualifies as you know official when you get dubbed five stars.
You're like, it's not five stars for me. I thought it was a really good match.
Oh, no question.
The backlash match was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
And Roman and Cody isn't five stars.
Okay, say that again.
How is that five stars and Roman and Cody is not five stars?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just here to spread the news. It got five stars.
No, it was a very good match. There's no question about that. But I don't know. It just, the whole build and everything about it felt a little bland to me. This, yeah, I think, will get spiced up with Logan Paul. But like I said, after this, no more like biding time with Cody Rhodes. We need to make him a real champ. We need to have him face some real opponents. Feel some real danger, be under a real threat, because we can't just, you know, kick the can down the road till, say, SummerSlam.
Yeah. Okay. So let's break this down, because this is basically what happened. Nick Elch just said, I brought you out here. I got your opponent for you. They played us music. Logan Paul comes out, and I'm doing this thing of Logan Paul, because legitimately, I think he was like the last person I was thinking of. I don't really know who I had at the forefront of my mind, but I wasn't thinking Logan Paul. But I will say this, though, what I did like was the back and forth on the microphone, because Logan came out there and he's being like bad and bougie, and he's talking about how he's had the greatest rookie year in pro wrestling. And when he says things like that, it gets under your skin, because it works, right? Because you know that that's not true. You're like, yep, that's not true. He did not have the greatest rookie year of all time. And he knows he's going to piss off these like hardcore wrestling fans, that when you ask them like, oh, hey, like who's one of the people that had the greatest rookie years of all time? The common answer that you're going to get is Kurt Angle. And so he's like doing little things to piss off the fans that works really well. And so Logan Paul comes across as, you know, this arrogant, self-centered a-hole. And I was kind of worried for a second that Cody wasn't going to have like a good comeback to Logan Paul, because sometimes it just really depends, right? It really depends. Sometimes Cody really comes out with some cool stuff, and some other times you're like, oh man, this person won, especially when you saw him against Roman and The Rock, right? But in this case, I loved it that he just flat out said, you're a dumbass. And that popped everybody, because that's what people love to see Logan Paul as. And so I did love like the back and forth with the verbal jabs at one another. I thought that part was really good.
Yeah, there's just more to work with here than there was with AJ, where it's like, oh, we have mutual respect. We don't actually hate each other, and we know who's going to win this match. You know, like, and in this case, I think with Logan Paul, you hit the nail on the head. And there was other little things he said, like, I'm the longest reigning champion in WWE, even though we all know, you know, all these titles just changed hands. Rhea Ripley got hurt, or else that wouldn't be the case. You know, a weaselly thing to say. Not to mention, the one thing that they can do to elevate Cody here is two belts. Because he talked about winning the Triple Crown or whatever.
So I want to clarify this, because I think some people might be a little confused here with this, Robin. So as we know, we're going to be having champion versus champion. Now, usually, unless they state title versus title, it's usually just Cody's belt on the line and not Logan Paul's. So here's the part that I think got confusing, because in the promo, as you heard, Cody Rhodes mentioned that he was going to be a Grand Slam champion if he won the U.S. title from Logan Paul. So that almost made you think that it was going to be title versus title. However, later on in the evening, when they announced the match again, like when they ran through the actual card and everything, the graphic, they only said Cody's title. So I'm not sure what happened there, but you see what I'm saying? Like there was some discrepancy. So I'm taking it now as it's just Cody's title on the line. And I don't know why Cody said the U.S. title portion of it if that title's not on the line.
He tweeted two belts also. Like,
are you serious? So then did commentary make the mistake then?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because that's what I was actually basing it off his tweet more than anything else, because I was like, oh, yeah, that's what they're going to use to make Cody bigger off of this, is he's going to win the U.S. championship. And he did tweet out two belts alluding
okay,
to that grand
so
slam.
This is where, okay, so when he first, when the promo first happened, they made it seem like it was title versus title. And I'm like, okay, great. That makes sense. Cool. It adds more intrigue. And then when they ran down the match, they only said Cody's title. So then I'm like, okay, so it's just Cody's title. And now I find out that he tweeted the two bout things. Okay, well, I don't think he would have tweeted that and said it on the promo. I even thought he just messed up. And I'm like, what the hell, man? Okay, so then commentary messed up because commentary did not mention that the U.S. title would also be put on the line. So there we go. We've clarified that, at least on our end. And I'm pretty sure WWE will clarify it at some point. But with that being said, that changes things a little bit because now there's no way Cody's losing this match. Like, regardless with or without the two bouts, title versus title, Cody was not losing this match, Robin. So now we're going to get to a position, though, where we've seen this story, we've seen this film play out before with the champion with two belts. And so if Cody wins the U.S. title, which he is, how do you feel about that?
Well, again, I think it's like a way to try to boost Cody up in this process because the whole chase for Cody was everything. It was all about really the journey more than the destination. You know, some people say the journey is better than the destination or the more important thing. And in Cody's case, I think that was the case. It was about his journey to get to the championship. Then he won it and everybody was celebrating. Everybody was happy. But it was, where do they go from here? And the AJ Styles match was a foregone conclusion. It feels like this Logan Paul match is a foregone conclusion. So how do you put a little extra spice on the win? You give him another championship in the process, and then he can figure out what to do with it. Maybe he doesn't, you know, keep it. Or maybe he does. Maybe he holds both of them for the entirety of this time. Or maybe he decides, you know, I'm going to be a benevolent defending champ. I don't need this belt. Let me decide some gimmick that's going to happen to go after it, right? All those options are on the table, but I think more than anything else, it's a way to try to add a little spice, a little punch to his title run that hasn't quite had the same, you know, rallying around it that it had post-WrestleMania, you know, a couple months out.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know what this – I really wish we weren't in a situation where it was title versus title because – but then again, it's Logan Paul. You're not necessarily missing out on him not being U.S. champion because he's had how many defenses? Really not that many, right? But if I don't necessarily want to see Logan Paul drop the U.S. title to Cody Rhodes when it could have been done in some totally different way, and he could have dropped the belt to somebody else, like an LA Knight or literally anybody else that you're trying to get over on the SmackDown side. So it almost feels like we're doing too much on one side right now with Cody's story because there's nothing else. And I feel like that is that's a little bit of an issue for me. I feel like they're working themselves into a corner where, again, all of a sudden, he wins the U.S. title. He has his championship. Again, he does not need the U.S. title. So what do you do then? Like you mentioned, there's options. I don't care about any of those options.
Yeah, to me, you got to get Gunther or Randy Orton or somebody like that involved at that point. Maybe that's the King of the Ring final, right? Like Gunther, Randy Orton. I want to see that match. Just saying it, I want to see that match. It sounds epic and awesome in my head, the way I could see it playing out, the way I could see those two balancing off each other. And they feel like legit threats to Cody. You know, give me a Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton banger, or a series of matches between Cody Rhodes and Gunther. And then all of a sudden we're cooking. Like I said, you can't, here's the thing. You can't always have your foot on the gas, like all the way down. Sometimes you have to, you know, go through the side streets or through the neighborhoods and slow down a little bit. You can't always be on the highway, fast and the furious in it. So I get it. I give them a little leeway. You know, you have to have programming. You have to have events. And you we're going to run out of options if you exhaust them all so quickly for Cody. But now this is it. My patience runs out. Post King of the Ring. Logan Paul's a nice, cute idea. He's gonna go out there. He's gonna annoy people. He's gonna have a good match with Cody. Cody's gonna win. After that, I need to see what Cody's about. I need to see who they're bringing to Cody, and I need to be pulled in because it can't feel like, I always know what's going to happen, and it's sort of just bland and there to pass time. And that's where I think the likes of Gunther and Randy Orton come out.
Yeah, no, I think you made some really strong points there for Cody. And as for me, again, I would have really liked to see Logan drop the belt to somebody that worked their way up to actually like earn it. And therefore, you can have another successful champion on the show instead of seeing someone with two belts when, again, they do not need the two belts. With that being said, I feel like they're almost like it's easy to get away with this too, because we're talking about King and Queen of the Ring. All right. That's not really a big pay-per-view. And then on top of that, it's in Saudi Arabia. It's going to air like at 10 in the morning. So, you know, a lot of fans here are either like pass, not going to tune in, or, you know, people have complicated feelings about that show anyways. So I don't know if that just makes it easy to just like, it's not SummerSlam, so we're not going to complain because it's not a big show that we really care about. But again, I don't know. It's interesting to see where we're at. And I do agree with you, Robin. I do hope that after this, we're moving on to a bigger and better story for Cody Rhodes. But in the meantime, I'll have fun with these little promos between Logan Paul and Cody Rhodes. But let's go ahead and get into these super chats here. And this is from Luis Arturo Mendez, who says, I just saw WWE advertise the Iron Claw streaming on Max, which is owned by Warner Brothers Discovery and home to AEW. I did see that as well. I didn't really think too much about it, to be honest. But did you think too much about this, Robin?
I hadn't thought about it. I'm trying to think if I think too much about it right now.
You're like, what is my opinion on this? What do you think?
First of all, every time I really enjoyed the Iron Claw. I thought it was really, really well done. And can I say something controversial?
Oh, yes, please.
I like the Ric Flair guy. I thought it was
good. Robin, stop it. That's not controversial. That's just horrible.
It was an interpretation. Where it came in the movie, it worked for me.
Robin, I want to die right now. That's no. Literally, when you were going to say hot take, I'm like, what hot take can it possibly be? That guy, I don't know his name, who played Ric Flair was the worst Ric Flair that I've ever seen in my entire life.
The worst Ric Flair you've ever seen was in the airport. Just no.
That's true. Robin, we can pull out. I can guarantee if we auditioned every single person right now in this chat to play Ric Flair, I would bet $1,000 that every single person that we auditioned would do better than this guy that played Ric Flair in the movie. Well, it was horrible.
I don't think he was trying to do a Ric Flair impression as much as a Ric Flair interpretation.
But it's like, okay, how do you interpret... Woo! Like, come on. Like, even that was better. And I think that sucked. Come on. Like, how do you interpret that? There's no interpreting that.
I'm obviously in the minority. It didn't bother me where it came in the movie. Now, this is this just because they're promoting wrestling? I'm trying to think of if there's any corporate synergy that would make sense here. So SmackDown is going to USA, right? As part of the
yes, September 13th.
Okay. And we know that all that stuff is going to Netflix. I mean, is there what would WBD be bidding on when it comes to the WWE that would make this a conspiracy? That's what I guess what I'm looking at, because we know AEW, I'm guessing, is searching for its next media rights home and where that'll be. And I hope they land somewhere where all of their stuff is available on one service, because we've gotten so spoiled with like Peacock. I mean, I remember back in the day when I used to buy all those pay-per-views, and now you're like, what? This is all $5 a month. All the time.
You can get me to pay. Like, once you get people used to a certain price, that's the price that you're staying at, man. I can't go back. I cannot pay right now $50 for both WWE and AEW pay-per-views. I would be like just dead. That would not be able to happen.
But I will say for Luis, I won't say his middle name because the way you say it is so wonderful. I will say... I find this interesting. I don't know if it means anything, but when I read it and I try to digest it, it did make me go, but it's most likely them just trying to promote wrestling.
Yeah, I didn't think too much about it, but thank you so much, Luis, for the super chat, though. Appreciate that, man. We got Sheldon Jackson here, who gifted 5 DWO memberships. As always, Sheldon, you the man. We got Gianna here with a very generous super chat saying, fine with Jade and Bianca in the Queen of the Ring. Other tags are in the tournament too. Jade versus Bianca not happening this soon. I see shenanigans with Nia. I think people over-exaggerated need that star power as well. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about this tournament, and we'll get to it in a second. So you know what? I'm going to come back to Gianna's super chat in just a second. But this is from Kevin Zwicker, who says, Logan Paul Levesque era. Yeah. It always, it's a sort of a tongue twister for me to say, but that's his, that's the thing he's been saying for the last couple of weeks. We got Steven here who says, if Jade does not win, then I think Tiffany wins Queen of the Ring. We got Brandon Rosen here who says, did I miss something? Is the stipulation for Cody's match versus Logan both titles or just Cody's? His promo seemed to suggest so. So where we're at right now, based on the promo and based on the tweet, it's suggesting that Logan's title is also on the line. However, again, commentary only mentioned Cody's title. So at some point, that needs to be clarified, like 1,000%. Sean Davis is here, 8 months with the DWO now to WW, onto WWR count. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That's what I was calling, that's what I'm calling my show. Over there.
Oh, okay. I was confused. I was like, wait a second. I'm confused.
He's been great. He's come over there and he said that you sent him, and he's been there every day. So that it was WWR because I've been talking a lot of women's basketball, obviously a lot of wrestling and a lot of rap music. Plus my name is Robin. And I will say you inspired me. Like hearing you say DWO like sounded so cool. So I just like the way it rolled off the tongue.
Oh, you're WWR.
Yeah, WWR.
I love that. Okay, good to know. I was like, wait a minute. Is he saying WWE? Is he saying, like, what are we doing here? Okay, that's good to know. All right, we got Rafael Garcia here who says, didn't get to watch SmackDown tonight, but from what I've seen, they gave Tom a generic tongue in music number 3, took away the gun stun, and Corbin is a pirate, noted. I think Corbin's been a pirate with the pirate theme on NXT for like a while now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Baron Corbin, to be honest, but I disagree on, I thought Tama Tonga's theme was hard. That was a banger. I really liked it. I liked the sonics of it, the way it was interpolated, the entrance, all of it. I actually think they did a really good job with that theme. So I respect Mr. Rafael Garcia, but I disagree with his opinion here.
We got Steven Marchuli here who says, Jade for Queen of the Ring, Gunther for King of the Ring. Gunther beats Cody for the U.S. title. Cody wins WWE Championship match. That could be an option, but then again, yeah, I wouldn't hate it if we saw Gunther defeat Cody Rhodes for the U.S. title. I would not hate that. It's not like they're protecting the pin the way that they were with Roman Reigns. So it's a little different, although I still wouldn't want to see the champion get beat, period. I don't like that. Even if it's for a different title, I don't like the idea of the champion being pinned, period.
But we do need to elevate Gunther here coming up soon. He had that Intercontinental reign. I mean, he feels like the next in line. Again, I've been mentioning those two guys for a reason. Randy hasn't really had that big match since he came back, right? You know, he's been involved in a lot of stuff, but he hasn't had that moment, and he's always going to feel like a threat. And to be honest, I mean, he's for some of the other guys who have, I feel like I'm picking on AJ today, so I want to apologize. But
AJ's going to come out here, knock you out with a phenomenal forearm.
AJ does not feel like he is at the apex or is going up at any point, you know, going forward. While Randy, you would have thought his career was over, but I don't think he's on the down, maybe because of that break, maybe because it's fresh for people, and he hasn't really experienced the L's, the things that make you go, oh, you know, all right, they're using him as somebody who has credibility, because AJ Styles has endless credibility, but you know isn't going to win. So Randy Orton has that threat that's still there. And then Gunther, to me, feels like the next guy that needs to be elevated to the main event. And once you do elevate him to the main event, he can't, you know, catch a bunch of pins. You know, he lost the Intercontinental Championship after that long, long reign, which worked on so many different levels, the way it elevated Sammy, the theater, the story, everything about that. But now that that happened, it's time for Gunther to take the next step. And you know,
but to me, that next step is a world title. It's not the U.S. title. To me, that's like a lateral. If anything, it's a step down, because to me, I saw the Intercontinental Championship as more than the U.S. title. And that was in part due to Gunther, of course.
Yeah. And that's a delicate balance, I think, with Cody, because with Cody, you can't take it off him too quickly, because then it invalidates everything that happened. But at the same time, you know, are we waiting for The Rock and Roman to come back? You know, is that it? Does a match against The Rock need a championship, even though The Rock hinted at that before? So I would think he's getting that far. That's the tightrope that you have to walk. And that's why you have the matches against AJ Styles. That's why you have the matches against Logan Paul. I just wonder, once you introduce somebody like Gunther, you know, what happens then? Because I wouldn't know how to book, like, just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, how would I book that right now? And because I don't know the answer to that, it makes it super intriguing.
Oh my gosh. You know how I would do it? I would just run back Ilya versus Gunther as his first challenger. That way you're like, okay, he can defeat Ilya, but you know it's going to be a hell of a match. But hey, I can dream, can't I? All right. We got Rafael Garcia who says you could just cop out and do option C. I don't know, man. At this point, I am a little disappointed that we're even having to have this discussion, to be real, about what Cody would do with the United States Championship.
But again, I think Cody would probably, if he had the United States Championship, do something to put it up for grabs or something to that effect, right? Like, I don't know. Does it benefit Cody Rhodes to have that title? It doesn't. It might benefit him to win it. It doesn't benefit him to have it, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, like, we're not doing the tribal chief thing with Cody where he's holding up the belts and all that stuff. It would be a notch in the belt for him. Like, but as far as something that needs to be sustained, I don't know. I figure if he does win it, they find a mechanism to get it off him quickly without him losing.
Like you said, Grand Slam champion, that is the benefit. And then after that, then, you know, everyone's going to be like, all right, well, now what? What are we going to do with the United States Championship? What's going to happen here? We'll see. We also have a super chat here from Jay Stone who says, wonder why Andrade isn't in the tournament. Easily could have seen Gunther Andrade in the finals. I don't know. They keep doing these little vignettes saying that Andrade is going to be coming soon. Or not coming soon, but... Coming soon. And that's kind of been about it. I think it's been like 2 weeks now that they've been playing those little video packages. But that could have been an easy place to put him as well.
It's hard, though, because there's a lot of people that you could say need these moments, need these things. And I, if I'm being frank, wouldn't have him high on the order. Like, I just talked about Gunther and Randy Orton going against each other, right? And to me, that's the way it should be. That's the headline match. But where's Jey Uso in that equation? Because Jey Uso keeps getting these huge receptions and it's not leading to anything. Like, so where do you go with Jey Uso? So that's the point. There's a line.
There's a lot of loose ends, honestly. There really is. And I don't know what they're going to do or how this is going to go about. But I do think that they need to. There are certain people, though, that you just don't want to see them not do anything. And Andrade is one of them. Like, he came in and it was like, oh my God, you know, he came back from AEW and he's back in WWE. And you're thinking, honestly, like, to me, I can't even say he's better off back in WWE because I've seen him in the same amount of time that I did when he was with AEW. So as of right now, I'm still not seeing the win for him, like, on the programming side of things, because again, we were rarely seeing him on AEW and now we're rarely seeing him on WWE, and he's a guy that can freaking go. And so I do hope that whatever it is that they decide.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
To do with it, it works out nicely. So We'll see. But let's go ahead and get into the King and the Queen of the Ring tournament because we got a couple of matches here today. I want to start off with, let's start off with the women's here because we also just got the bracket here today. And this is so annoying. They started doing this on Raw and they're doing this on SmackDown again too. It's so annoying that they don't put all of the matches on the show. Like you have to wait and find out who's going to win at the live event. And I really, really hate that because I'm going to have to find out online and it's just going to throw off the mojo of me and figuring out this bracket, right? But here we go. So we saw three matches here today. I'm going to put up the bracket here. We saw Jade Cargill defeat Piper Niven, which was really cool because she got the Jaded on Piper. We saw Bianca Belair defeat Candice LeRae. And then we also saw Nia Jax defeat Naomi. So what you have here right now is you are going to be seeing Nia Jax versus Jade Cargill, which is a pretty big matchup. They had their moment at the Royal Rumble, if you guys recall. And then we're going to be seeing Bianca Belair versus most likely Tiffany Stratton. I think Tiffany Stratton is defeating Meechan. So then you are going to be having possibly Tiffany and Bianca. The winner of that, I'm assuming, is going to be Bianca, unless something happens. Ooh. She gets screwed. Ooh. But do you think we're going to get Bianca Jade at the end of this?
Or I'm looking Tiffany at Jade? That, and I was like, you kind of have to. You're kind of for the only other, it has to either be Nia or Jade out of that bracket, right? Oh, Tiffany could come out on the other side. I could see that happening. Tiffany coming yes. out getting to the finals. So there's four ladies there that I could see in the finals. Nia, Jade, Tiffany, and Belair. But yeah, I didn't even think about this, Denise, until I saw this and I'm looking at it and I'm doing the bracket myself and I'm like, oh wow, you could have Bianca and Jade in that final. And I'm pretty hyped for that Jade Nia Jax match. I think that could be really cool. I thought the Jade Piper Niven match was pretty good. Is that the first bump that we've seen
for Jade Cargill? For Jade Cargill, yeah. Like this was the first time that we were seeing Jade Cargill legitimately get dominated in a match. And it was the first time we actually saw her like the first time we saw her get someone try to get an attempted pin on her. There was a lot of first in this match. And I thought like they really, I was nervous. I was nervous to see how this match was going to play out, but I thought she did really good. There was no like botches or anything like that. I thought she showed out very well, but here's the thing. Let me ask you a question and I'll pose this to the chat as well. When you're looking at this chart again, it's either going to be Jade and Bianca or Jade versus Tiffany. What is the most appealing option for you right now?
It's tough because the instant answer is Jade and Bianca. I can't lie and tell you I don't want to see that. Like, that's what I want to see. And it would be so interesting as they're paired up to have it happen so quickly and then be forced into it. But then there's the other part of me that goes, wait, is that too fast? Do we need to swerve it so that that doesn't happen right now and you get the tease of it going on? And how do you get Tiffany that kind of heat that she needs messing up that match that we're all looking for by costing Bianca? So I think that's what I do, and I make it Tiffany and Jade in the final. But boy, oh boy, it's hard not to just book it to Bianca and Jade. It's hard.
I'm going to go with Tiffany and Jade for the simple reason that, like you said, it feels like it's too fast for Bianca and Jade. And the moment that Bianca and Jade are legitimately across the ring from each other, that needs to be a big deal moment. And the semifinals match in the Queen of the Ring, excuse me, tournament is not it. That's not the moment that you do Bianca and Jade. And so for that reason, I'd rather have them do Tiffany and Jade. So then you can do a whole thing about like, this is the future of WWE and blah, 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 blah. Like you could really play up on that. And so for that reason, that's what I'm expecting is going to happen over for the SmackDown side of the bracket.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Ultimately, I think you're right in your knowledge.
And I think Jade's winning the entire thing.
Yeah, I mean, I
that
think
that's pretty obvious, though, right?
So
I'm still hoping for that. Yeah,
Tiffany's either winning Queen of the Ring or Money in the Bank. I'd almost put money on that. To me, Money in the Bank fits her a little bit better. Well, either one could fit her though, because she could do the whole "I'm the Queen," but also like the fact that she's a threat to always cash in with and taunting with the briefcase, they both work for her. Meanwhile, this is the ascension of Jade. So I guess I don't see Jade climbing ladders and grabbing the brief. Like, it just doesn't in my head. That's not what I see. I could see her rocking the queen gear and saying, I'm here, I've arrived, and I've already accomplished something. So I do believe that's how it plays out. Jade wins Queen of the Ring, and Tiff wins Money in the Bank.
Yeah, especially when you talk about, like, not being able to see Jade up in ladders and stuff like that. Okay, who do you usually see like that? It's Tiffany Stratton with her gymnastics background. You know for a fact she's going to be doing some crazy stuff in the Women's Money in the Bank. So, so I think that's where we're at. And it seems like a lot of people here, I'm seeing more Queen Jade Cargill over Queen Tiffany. And I think that's just because, like you said, I think people are working it out themselves. All right, so we got, by the way, we got a brand new member here in the DWO. Shout out to Weston Maher. I appreciate you coming on and becoming a new member of the DWO. We got Tunde Ud here who says, where does the Wyatt Six fit, Raw or SmackDown? So they did another QR code during the women's match. Did you get the update? What's the new update?
It was an old WWE logo. Or not too old, but a WWE logo, and then like, shh, and then like, we've been gone. We're here. We're back. You know, like all that, more or less that.
Oh, that was like, we're back. Okay, cool. I got it. I can put two and two together because I didn't see it. Again, the QR codes, they pop up so fast. I don't have time.
A bunch of cryptic messaging over WWE product with breaks in and outs. You know, did you forget about us? That kind of thing.
So, you know, I don't want to do any spoilers because, you know, I want people to be surprised, but there were some reports of who they're considering being part of the Wyatt Six. And there are some names that were thrown out there, and all of the names that were put out there are honestly people that easily fit in and make sense because they've got the creepy vibe going. And they're also people that we haven't seen on the show. Again, I don't know for sure, like, you know, whether or not these people are going to be part of the Wyatt Six or not. And I won't give any spoilers in case people want to be surprised, but regardless from the names that I heard, I'm like, I'm ready for it because again, they're people that we haven't seen in a while and fit that vibe, but where do they fit better, Raw or SmackDown? I'm going to go with Raw only because I think Raw is missing a little bit of that. I don't know. I think they can use it. I think they have a place to use it. But then at the same time, I don't want it to dominate a lot of the show. I don't want to see it like weaved in and weaved out. I want to see it be a brief thing on the show. And if it's on Raw, I feel like we would get too much of it and then it would just overtake the show. So I changed my opinion and I'm going with SmackDown. I would rather see this on SmackDown.
Have they done has it been an equal share of QR codes between Raw and SmackDown?
They've done primarily, I think, on SmackDown, actually. I feel like they've mostly been happening on SmackDown. On Raw, there's been, like, little glitches, but it's mainly been SmackDown, I think.
Well, then maybe that's foreshadowing where they wind up. I mean, the thing about Raw is there's more time, so there's more space to put them in. But, look, I mean, I think it's been effective. That sort of marketing has been effective. It was effective for Bray Wyatt's last return, unfortunately, before he passed, and that really worked. That style of marketing it was the White Rabbit at that time, right? And this thing as well is working. People are intrigued. Again, I tell you all the time, my son is like, oh, did you get the QR code? Did you get it? You know, go get it. If you didn't get it, go get it. I was like, it'll be on the internet in a second. If I didn't get it, don't worry about it.
Yeah, like somebody else will.
Somebody, one of these people will grab it. I promise you this. But yeah, I think it is. The whole point is to build intrigue and suspense. And I think they've done that effectively, build intrigue and suspense. The harder part is paying it off. And what does that look like? And is it sustainable? That is, to me, the thing that is the true test and I'm looking forward to.
I feel you. All right, Tunde, thank you so much for the super chat. All right, so we talked about the Queen of the Ring. Let's talk about the King of the Ring. And we got a couple matches here. And I actually did not take a picture of the bracket, so my apologies, guys. We had Randy Orton versus AJ Styles in what was a match that was really freaking good. Like, this could have easily been on a pay-per-view. And, of course, Randy hits his RKO. He gets the win. And Randy is advancing in this tournament. We also had Angelo Dawkins versus Tama Tonga in Tama Tonga's first singles match here in WWE. And he ended up winning thanks to a distraction from, unfortunately, Montez Ford took a Samoan spike on the outside from Solo Sikoa. And then we also had Baron Corbin versus Carmelo Hayes, in which Carmelo Hayes took the win in what wasn't a bad match either. But that's where we're at right now with the men's tournament. I'm pretty much expecting it to be, I think the way that I worked it out at the end, because I did my predictions last week, if I remember correctly, I think I had Gunther and Randy at the end of it.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. And I think it almost had, the only wild card is Jay again, because what are you going to do with Jay Uso? Like, eventually he's got to do something. He's got to accomplish something, you know, beating Jimmy Uso, ain't it? You know, like
in a match that nobody cared about. Yeah. Bad.
Beating Jimmy Uso ain't the payoff. And the guy is so popular. You know, he's so over. I sign off of this with Yeet every week, right? Like, this is rocking the hands up and down. So eventually you got to pay that off. I don't know what that looks like. Could King of the Ring be that? I mean, maybe. But when I look at that bracket, I go, it's got to be Randy Orton against Gunther. If you don't give me Randy Orton against Gunther, I'm going to riot.
Like, I feel you with what you're saying on Jay, because I agree with that, because even at Backlash, I was like, damn, what if they just surprised us and had Jay defeat Damian Priest? Like, let's be real. I would not be mad about that. But, and so that's what I mean by, you're right, Jay Uso is incredibly popular, but again, he can't defeat Gunther. They've done so well with Gunther. Like, Gunther is somebody they've legitimately booked right, to the point where if you mess anything up with his booking, people are going to be pissed. Because they really built him up to be, you know, when he was Intercontinental Champion. Look at now he's the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. Look at all the matches that he had, all the prestige that he brought to the title. And you just can't have this man all of a sudden go from being on top of the mountain to losing a King of the Ring tournament.
No, I mean, you're right, too. Unless there was some way to pull it off that we can't think of, like, you know, that sets up a feud with Gunther where he doesn't lose clean and somebody makes an appearance or a return that's like a big deal and takes Gunther out. That's the way I think it could work. But that would have to be a real heavy. Like, I'm not talking about, you know, Jimmy Uso.
JD McDonough. I don't know why. not your JD McDonoughs of the world.
No, not nobody like that. It'd have to be like, you know, Roman coming back to help Jay.
In that case, this options are very slim now, because all I'm thinking is obviously it could be like Giovanni or freaking hell, maybe even Ilya. But again, no. But let's just have Gunther win. Let's not make it difficult. Let's just have Gunther win. That's the right way to go.
But, yeah, I guess I just wonder how many L's can Jay take? Is his popularity just going to sustain it no matter what, without a direction? Because he's lost a lot of
matches. Maybe people just really love the Yeet. So as long as he's got the Yeet going and the dance, it's all right. Oh, man. All right. So we got Mr. Acosta here, who sends in a super chat saying, finishing up SmackDown this now since I was watching my Knicks get robbed, shaking my head. But I can't wait till Logan Paul says something about AEW in Jacksonville next week. Oh, he totally would. Oh, I didn't even think about that. He totally will.
Is he going to come out in Nick race?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that?
No.
They're doing the contract signing next week with Logan and Logan and Cody in Jacksonville. Oh my God. All of the stars are aligning.
A prime branded neck brace.
Oh my God. I just know there's going to be some shots in there. All right. I'm going to be ready for it. Be ready.
I mean, when it comes to engagement,
I love this stuff.
The secret sauce, right?
Like, it's fuel to the fire.
WWE mentions AEW. But Cody's always been, I mean, obviously, we know Cody's journey and where he went and what he did. He's always had respect and been respectful. So it's not going to be him. And I would wonder how he would respond to a pot shot from Logan Paul in the ring in real time. That would be interesting.
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be like, he's going to throw a shot about how the last time he was there or he knows this place very well. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he's going to throw some shot about, you know, the audience and Jacksonville and it being low rent, you name it. That's what's going to happen, but I'm ready for it. I'm excited. Cause you know, Logan Paul, he's good on the mic. As much as people hate him, he's good on the microphone and he's good at those little one-liners that just get people under their skin.
I think he's gotten as good or to a level of prominence and ability and performance faster than anybody else. Like if you really want to give him his props, when you talk about in-ring work and mic work from a green background, not coming from another company, not, you know, being elevated, but coming in as a newbie to the game, I don't think I've ever seen anybody get as good as quickly as Logan Paul has, both in the ring and on the mic, because he's, you know, he leans into that character that you really want to root against because he's a jerk off, you know, like all that stuff. And he leans into it. He does it well. He knows how to respond to the crowd. And then you can't front on what he does in the ring. You can't front on it.
No, you can't. And sorry, I'm trying to check because someone said that they posted something on WWE's website about a few minutes ago. And so I just wanted to double check. Okay, so it looks like it's official. Here they said, WWE's website says, Undisputed WWE Champion Cody Rhodes goes... They just wrote, Undisputed WWE Champion Cody Rhodes goes head-to-head with United States Champion Logan Paul in a champion versus champion match at King and Queen of the Ring.
Well, that doesn't tell us anything.
I know, that's not really telling us anything. I'm like, at first I was like, oh, they mentioned both belts. But then I read it and I'm like, no, they're just saying they're each the champion. Whatever. Let's just say it's for both at this point.
Cody would not have tweeted two belts if it wasn't for both belts. That's what I'm going off of.
Yeah. And the promo too, man. He said, if I win the United States Championship, I will become a Grand Slam champion. Like, there was a whole ass sentence in there about
it. And why say champion versus champion if it's not for the championships? What does it matter if he's one of them's a champion if it's not for the championship?
Because, you know, they've done that before where it's like champion versus champion, but only one champion's belt is on the line. I hate that. I really, really hate that. It's like, who does that? Come on. If you're putting your belt on the line, you got to put the other person's got to put their belt on the line to make it fair and make it more intriguing, you know?
Yeah, even though these two belts are not the same, let's be real. One of these things is not like the other.
Exactly. All right, so let's see. What haven't we talked about yet that we still need to get to? Yes, the bloodline. All right, that's the last topic that we got for today. But before we get into the bloodline, one thing that is definitely clear, if you guys want to have a good time, make sure you guys use Blue Chew code Denise.
Are you jobbing now in bed? Do you have dreams of main eventing in the sack? Well, have no fear. Blue Chew is here to help you become the champ. Soon you'll make your baby face comeback and get the finish. Blue Chew is the place to go for chewable versions of sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil. These ingredients help men achieve stronger, yeah, harder, yeah, and longer lasting erections for sexual activity. Woo! The chewable tablets help fight off all forms of ED, which can include performance anxiety and maintaining an erection long enough for sex. A Blue Chew subscription includes a free online consultation, 24/7 medical support, a prescription for chewable sildenafil, tadalafil, vardenafil, if approved, and discreet delivery straight to your door every month, all from the comfort of your own home at affordable prices. No more in-person doctor visits, no more waiting for appointments, and best of all, no more awkwardness. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to the description box of this video and click on the link and make sure to use the promo code Denise.
Alrighty, and we are back. So we got to get into the bloodline. Oh man, we want Roman Chance again. Solo Sikoa being pissed off at Paul Heyman for withholding information about withholding Roman Reigns from the draft and therefore not having them be drafted number one. And you know that hurt Solo Sikoa's pride. Solo Sikoa saying he actually spoke to Roman Reigns and made it seem like Roman put him in charge, hugging Paul Heyman and giving the eye. Nobody is buying this from Solo Sikoa. He did not talk to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, this was manipulation out of the Roman Reigns playbook, right? Because Solo's been walking around like he's the boss. He's been acting like he's the boss and he's the tribal chief. That was what they tried to make us believe, right? Even to the point when Paul Heyman was asked who's the true tribal chief and he couldn't get the sentence out because we don't know who was actually manipulating things behind the scenes. Was it Roman? Was it The Rock? Is it actually Solo who's the tribal chief now? So this was a curveball to me. This was a curveball thrown intentionally because he's been walking around like he's a boss. Now all of a sudden he's still taking orders, even though he's temporary. We get it, you know, Roman's on his leave, but if you're just doing this temporary, that doesn't line up with the way you've been walking around and carrying yourself and adding to this faction. To me, this was him messing with Paul Heyman by saying, I talked to him. I don't believe either Paul Heyman or Solo Sikoa has talked to Roman Reigns. And when Solo pulls Paul Heyman in and tells him he loves him as the wife, I mean, that's like the classic Godfather kind of deal. When he's holding him up with his head, look, he gave the look to everybody else, like, look at this chump. So I don't think either of them has talked to Roman Reigns. And I think Solo is manipulating Paul Heyman for the slow turn. Paul Heyman's going to eat a Samoan spike. That is happening at some point in the not too distant future.
And I feel like, yeah, so, you know, I'm still sold on your idea from last time about The Rock being the one behind Solo Sikoa and his new faction. And I hope that that's part of the reason why Solo Sikoa has been so confident, and that he's not like he used to be Roman Reigns' right hand man. Well, you know, Jey Uso was right hand man, but you know what I'm saying? He used to be right there doing everything that Roman Reigns wanted him to do. I mean, the man wouldn't even speak. He was just a muscle. He would just do what Roman Reigns wanted him to do. And so for him to go from that to all of a sudden being this person who feels like they're in charge, lying and playing mind games, all of these things, he has to feel this way. Why? For a certain reason, because he has to have somebody that is, I guess, giving him that reassurance and reassurance that it's going to be okay to go up against Roman Reigns. So I am in my head still building it with the idea that The Rock is sort of behind this. Like, that's what I want.
Solo's not acting like a substitute teacher. He ain't been acting like a substitute teacher, right? Like, he don't have substitute teacher energy. He's been walking around like he's got tribal chief energy. It's what's helped build him up in this process post-WrestleMania. In fact, probably the most effective thing they've done post-WrestleMania, I think, is elevate Solo Sikoa. That's the thing that's hit the hardest, worked the best. Obviously, it was, we talked about Jacob Fatu. It turned out Tama Tonga, right? And they keep coming out from under the ring all over the place. Eventually, that Fatu is going to drop. Eventually, that is coming as part of this as well. And it feels like all of that is under this Solo story until Roman comes back, until The Rock comes back. So the idea that he's acting as a henchman, I'm not buying.
No, he's definitely not. And I think this whole thing was fun because we've never seen, at least that we know of, Solo Sikoa lie like this, just full on outright lie. And so now that they've added this layer to the story, I feel like it gives another dimension to Solo Sikoa, because again, like I said, before he was a guy who didn't even talk. And now he's out there with a real game plan. He's out there trying to, you know, he's masterminding this whole thing, and we've never seen this side of Solo Sikoa. So I feel like this just adds more intrigue to Solo Sikoa as an on-screen character, because let's be real, right now that you don't have Roman Reigns, you want to carry this bloodline story. You need somebody that has charisma, someone that has presence, someone that the fans are going to want to latch onto, someone that the fans are going to want to see when they know they can't see Roman Reigns because he's not there.
Even the way he's dressed, he's changed his entire look and presentation and everything to be more boss, more mafioso, more, you know, Samoan mafioso that he's pulling off right now. And it backtracks to me for him to say, oh, no, I talked to Roman and he told me I'm the tribal chief in the time that he's gone. That takes away from what Solo's done. So I don't buy it, because I think it's Solo messing with Paul Heyman, playing off of Paul Heyman saying he hasn't. That was just last week, right? That Paul Heyman said he didn't.
Literally.
So, yeah, to me, it's him playing off that in order to play Paul Heyman. And we're going to get more reveals as this goes forward, but more of Solo acting out. And Paul's doing it with his face, right? He keeps continuously being horrified at these things he's seeing. More of a baby face action, to be honest, right? Like, why are you attacking him after the bell?
Yeah, I feel like I feel a tad bit of sympathy for Paul Heyman, only because he looks really stressed out. He looks confused. You know that they're messing with him. And so part of me does feel bad for Paul Heyman, but not so much because of all of the wrongdoings that Paul Heyman has done. He's not innocent, okay? So I feel just a little bit of sympathy for him. But I think if they want us, I think at some point they're going to build up some more sympathy for him. Hugh J. Nitz says, what do you think the Samoan Tongans will do to Paul Heyman? I think Robin just nailed it there where he said Samoan spike for sure to Paul Heyman.
Right to the larynx.
Yeah, I can just imagine it. And you know Paul Heyman's going to sell that shit so well, like, man.
He's going to want to do an epic promo, but he can't talk because he got hit with the Samoan spike.
ladies and gentlemen, please, not even going to be able to get that line out. I love it. We got King D-Jack who says, leave Paul alone. Oh, man. Well, I mean, okay, is there anything else that I missed from SmackDown? I think we got everything that we needed to get to with the actual show. That was today's episode. But as always, I want to thank you guys so much for hopping in, for listening to the podcast. If you guys enjoyed it, Robin and I are here each and every single Friday to talk about SmackDown. So make sure you guys come through and you guys hang out. And if you already enjoy the show, you already come through each and every single week, please do not forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I'm about to hit 150 reviews. It's very hard to get reviews on Apple Podcasts. So I'm celebrating 150. So if you guys can, please head on over there and leave a review. Robin, what do you got going on this week?
I'm on Mad Dog Sports Radio tomorrow from 4 to 8 p.m. So you can check that out. Check out the links that Denise always puts down there. Head on over to the channel to check everything out that you like there. That we did do since we started this video with a talking about how the rappers were referenced in the wrestler the wrestling stuff after Kendrick did the Sweet Chin Music line. Well, there is a video up there pretty recent if you want to see it where we compared rappers to wrestlers and made all the comparisons from the greatest rappers of all time and their parallels in the world of wrestling.
Nice. You had that really good one too that I really loved on Busted Open where you said that Kendrick and Drake were like Brett and Goldberg. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, in the sense that Kendrick is the excellence of execution who really works on his craft and Goldberg is an attraction for the masses that, you know, the hardcore supporters may feel a certain way about. But in this case, it's the opposite. And Bret Hart ended Goldberg's career because Kendrick might have just ended Drake's career.
We got Weston Mayer who says, I'm a member of the DWO, wrote something on you for your ex. Thank you so much, Weston. I seriously appreciate that. Seriously, thank you so freaking much. All right. So last but not least, guys, head on over to Robin's channel. Again, the links are in the description box below. And if you guys are in the mood to talk about some Money in the Bank, my newest video that I just dropped right before SmackDown. Don't know why I decided to do that, but I did. Right before SmackDown, I posted a ranking video where I rank all of the women's Money in the Bank matches. So you guys can go ahead and check that out and get into the spirit of the Money in the Bank because we're just about 2 months away. All right, everyone. Thank you guys so much. And I'll catch you guys here on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Yeet.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.